Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Yeah, that's right. It sounds like Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. You want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know, new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a new one tomorrow morning. You can get over there, check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You should give that a like while you're over there. Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
Oh. All right, Dan, did you remember to pick your fantasy players of the week?
Yeah, it was the two best guys of the week.
All right, well, luckily I was nice enough to pick them for you this week because I felt bad that we forgot last week, so... Dan picked as his hitter, Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers. You can look up his stats and see how Cody did, but he was definitely worth the selection. So that's where Dan's going with his hitter. And then for his pitcher, he's going with Corey Kluber of the Indians. While he did only win the one game last week, he made two starts, but he only won one of them. I believe he struck out about 80 guys and two starts and had a really low ERA. So yeah, we're going to help Dan out this week and fill it in for him. And then he can take back over next week while we're trying to remember to do these things. I'm even putting them in the Google sheet right now for you, Dan. So we're all set. So there you go. It's Cody Bellinger and Corey Kluber, cause we wanted a couple guys with C's for their first name. And oddly, I actually know a guy named Josh Bellinger in real life, and I keep wanting to call him that when I see the Dodger play. I keep wanting to call him Josh Bellinger, even though it is Cody. So we're all set there now. So Dan has made his choices. You can get off his case, and we'll be okay till next week, right?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I found it interesting when you bring up Cody Bellinger, and I'm still having reservations about dropping Adrian Gonzalez from one league, but I think I might because, you know, Castro just got put on the DL. But, so we'll get to that in a minute, but, I mean, Gonzalez knows even comments on how great he's playing. And then he mentioned if his back issues maintain, he's going to retire after next season. Well, you know, obviously his contract runs out, so what happens? Do they have like an exemption list so they could just pay him and he could just be done playing? What would he do?
Yeah, well, you know, I believe, you know, just about every contract is insured. So there, you know, there is some kind of insurance that goes along with it. But yeah, you know, if he decides to retire, you know, he may have his own personal policy, you know, that he'll also be able to claim, you know, cause he had a, you know, basically a career ending, what will be a career ending back injury. So he'll just, you know, basically just kind of go away and the money comes off the books.
I wondered how that would work.
So,
I mean,
you know what I mean? I'm sure. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's written into his contract somehow. I'm sure there's language for all that stuff. You know, they do a really good job of covering their bases. No pun intended there, since it is baseball. So, I'm sure the Dodgers are ready for this. And, of course, it is the Dodgers. You know, in reality, if they just wanted to pay him off to go away, they could. So, you know, they're one of the teams that have the kind of money to do that. So, but we shall see. You'll have to keep an eye on it since he's your guy, you know. But all right, well, let me throw my FanDuel lineup at you then, Dan, and we'll see how it looks compared to yours, because I believe you tweeted me yours, if that's what I heard there. So here's what I'm going with tonight. I like James Paxton of the Mariners for $8,500 as my pitcher. He's pitching against the Phillies, so I think that could be a solid start for me there. I'm hoping that kind of works out for me. Russell Martin is my catcher of the Blue Jays, $2,800. He's hitting second for the Blue Jays tonight. First base, I'm going with Miguel Cabrera for $3,600, obviously of the Detroit Tigers. He's hitting fourth for the Tigers tonight. Second base, I'm going with Dustin Pedroia of the Red Sox. I know there is a chance of rain in this game. I am a little concerned with that, but obviously check it out if that's what you're going to go with there. And Pedroia cost me $2,800. Third base, I'm going with Josh Donaldson of the Blue Jays. He's $3,800, and he's hitting third in their lineup tonight. Shortstop, I went back to Detroit. I'm going with Jose Iglesias. He's only $2,100, but he is hitting ninth in their lineup tonight. Again, you always need to kind of find a guy or so to save a little money on, and I'm hoping Iglesias is the guy tonight. In the outfield, I spent $3,900 on Marcell Ozuna of the Marlins. He's hitting cleanup for them tonight. I also spent $3,900 on Jose Bautista, who's leading off for the Blue Jays tonight. And then my outfield rounds out with Mookie Betts of the Red Sox for $3,600. So, the quick recap. I have James Paxton pitching, Russell Martin catching, Miguel Cabrera at first, Dustin Pedroia at second, Josh Donaldson at third, Jose Iglesias at short, and the outfield is Marcell Ozuna, Jose Bautista, and Mookie Betts. So hopefully that works out a little better for me than last night's lineup, because last night's lineup barely got over 100 points. So I am hoping to do a little bit better tonight as we move along there. So let me pull Dan's lineup here and get a look at what he did. All right. Oh boy. All right. Well, the night's definitely over. Dan went with James Paxton as well. So take him out of your lineup, people. He's probably going to give up 15 runs in an inning, just so you know. So be ready for that tonight. You were warned if you happen to stick with it. Don't say you weren't warned. Dan's going with Wellington Castillo of the Orioles for $2,600. He's hitting seventh in the Orioles lineup tonight. Joey Gallo at first base. That's odd that he's a first baseman. I always thought he qualified at third. $2,800, obviously, with the Rangers tonight. He's hitting ninth in their lineup. Jonathan Scope of the Orioles, $3,300. He's hitting third for them tonight. One of our favorites as of late when it comes to FanDuel, Evan Longoria at third base for Dan. He's $3,400. He's hitting third tonight. Tim Anderson hit a big three-run homer for the White Sox last night. Dan's going with him as kind of his money-saving shortstop for $2,500. He's hitting seventh tonight. He has Giancarlo Stanton for $4,100 in his outfield. He's hitting second for the Marlins. That's his new spot. Charlie Blackmon for $3,900. Yeah, the Blackmon prices really came down as of late, as he's kind of scuffled. He's playing the Giants tonight. That lineup has not been announced. And then our other jinx for the night is Marcell Ozuna, who Dan also paid $3,900 for, but now will not do anything because both of us have him in their lineup. So again, you've been warned on Stanton and you've been warned on James Paxton. Don't email us or call us or whatever and say we didn't tell you so, because we did. It's the Sports Time Radio voodoo that gets these guys. And if it was Sunday, you know, I would go in and change my lineup. So there you go.
I just left when you said James Paxton and Ozuna.
Now, I did want to know why you didn't pay all that money for Max Scherzer against your Cubs tonight.
Because I wanted to actually be able to put some hitters in the lineup.
Oh, what good does that do? You know, so you don't want to, what do you want hitters for? I won $15 over the weekend with a Clayton Kershaw lineup. You don't need hitters.
Oh.
So, I take it you didn't read the tweet I sent you. So.
Yeah, I did. Send that to my account.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was about time I was winning a buck or two here and there, but it was nice to pick up a much larger W there. Of course, I haven't managed to do anything with it, but hey, you know, that's what you get, right?
Yeah.
I should have just bet it all on one contest, right? And just threw $15 on something and tried to roll it over. No, bad idea.
Nah, I'm not one of those guys.
So yeah, no, me neither. So, you know, I don't think, well, like I said, I think I said before, the most I ever spent was that $5 that time I asked Mr. Fantasy to do me a lineup, and that blew up in my face, so we didn't do that anymore. But, yeah, you know, if you're confident in Scherzer, I think, you know, against the Cubs, he is a 10-strikeout guy. You know, the Cubs will probably strike out 10 times or more, but, you know, you'd have to worry a little bit about that offense hitting. You know, it's kind of the same thing, you know, Carlos Martinez is nine. Well, Max Scherzer's $12,000. You know, Carlos Martinez is 9,700. You know, he's facing a tough Arizona team. Lourdes Severino was a bum last time out. I know I had him. He's 9,200 against a weak-hitting White Sox team. You know, they did hit a little last night, but it was pretty much all in the ninth inning. You know, you got Quintana again against the Yankees if you think they're still going to struggle. So there are some... Yeah, let's call it interesting options. You know, maybe you're buying Dan Straley for 8,100 against a Mets team that just doesn't seem to want to hit. You know, maybe tonight's the night they hit. Or Julius Chacin, who's been a lot better than I think people thought for the Padres. You know, Atlanta's not tearing the cover off the ball right now. So, you know, maybe you find an option there. I know Baltimore has had its ups and downs, so maybe you're believing in Joe Biagini tonight. You know, 7,200, it could be a way to save some money. So, there are some guys here and there that could pop up, or, you know, maybe you know something about Matt Strom that Dan and I don't, and he's going to have a huge outing against the Tigers tonight, and you're going to run him out there for $6,200, and, you know, he's going to, you know, give you 30 points like he did a couple starts ago. So, you know, then you're going to load your lineup up with studs and run away to like a 300-point victory in your league?
That would be pretty sweet.
Wouldn't it? It would be nice to score 300 points in a baseball game. Of course, you would need a Scooter Gennett like four-homer thing out of somebody, I think, to reach that point. But, hey, you never know. You know, weird things happen every day in baseball. I mean, you know, we saw it last night just here locally. You know, it looked like the Cubs were going to cruise to an easy win, and then they couldn't get anybody out in the ninth inning. And same things for the Yankees. You know, looked like they were going to cruise to an easy win locally against the White Sox, and all of a sudden, you know, bang, they're one-run games, and closers are in trying to get outs, and, you know, they're throwing more gas on the fire, and both teams, man, you know, the Cubs managed to hang on to win. The Yankees managed to hang on to win. But, you know, it can be a strange game.
Yeah, I was going to say the only way I'd win to get 300 points is in a league where the first price prize is entry to another game.
Yeah. Those are always fun, right? You know, it's like, hey, I won, mm-hmm. and entry to a game. All right, yay. So
another free entry.
So, but, you know, I know we left some topics on the table yesterday, and since we're on baseball, Dan, you know, let's start with Tim Tebow. You know, he got promoted from Class A to High Class A. You know, and obviously there's a lot of complaining about it because he was only hitting 220. Now, you know, oddly, and I don't think people realize this, you know, this goes on in the minors quite a bit. You don't always have to hit to get promoted. You know, oddly, one of the top prospects, Gleyber Torres, when we went, I think it was 2 years ago now, to the South Bend Cubs game, he was not hitting very well. And I also believe he led their league in errors, but that didn't stop them from promoting him. You know, he moved right along to the next level, and now he's one of the top prospects in baseball. Now, I don't expect Tebow to pop up on the top 100 next year or anything. But, man, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, I just get sick and tired of these guys jumping on it because it's Tim Tebow. And, you know, they're looking for the easy story. And it's almost like they want to take shots at this guy because they're jealous because he can do things they can't do.
Yeah, well, I mean, doesn't part of the promotion include just the change of scenery and different going up against different pitchers?
Yeah, well, you know that, and you got to realize, I mean, we're talking about a guy who is, I'm trying to remember how old Tim Tebow is. Is he over 30? Do you remember? I'm gonna bing his name real quick here and get an age. He's actually 29. He'll be 30 next month or 2 months, August. So he's not your normal everyday 18-year-old prospect. I mean, you can leave an 18-year-old kid in low Class A all year. You can't leave a 29-year-old sort of kind of prospect down there all year because you've wasted a year. You've got to get him up to the next level and see how he does. You know, and you've got to continue to do this. I mean, I honestly won't be surprised to see him maybe get some looks in Double A late in the year because, you know, the Mets have to know what they have here in him if they're serious about using him. And then, yeah, obviously, you know, it's going to be a big, huge bump for their attendance. And that's the first thing everybody points out. You know, Sandy Alderson didn't do himself any favors when he started talking about Tebow's exit velocity and a bunch of other garbage he was kind of spouting out. But, you know, I mean, I'm baffled with the fact that why they just want to kill this guy every time he does something.
Because it's easy.
Yeah, and, you know, that seems to be the thing. I mean, it's just, you know, it's easy to sit behind the keyboard and write bad things about Tim Tebow while you're, you know, drinking your oversized Coke and eating your, you know, double whatever from whatever you ordered in and not getting off your fat ass to go to the gym, because I do it all the time. I can't remember the last time I saw the inside of a gym. So, you know, it's simple to do. I do it twice a week for us. But I don't rip on Tim Tebow. I mean, I'm actually impressed that, you know, you're talking about a guy who won a Heisman Trophy, then went to the NFL, and if you look, I believe actually has a career winning record. You know, not only took a team to the playoffs, but helped them get a playoff win. If you remember, the Broncos won that game in overtime because Tebow completed like an 80-yard pass to score the winning touchdown. You know, I know the first thing somebody's going to say is, well, you know, he really only threw the ball 20 yards and the guy ran it the rest of the way. Yeah, how many quarterbacks throw the ball 80 yards, idiot? Mike Vick's playing flag football tonight, okay? And I'm not kidding about that. He's really playing flag football. So, you know, he made the transition. He was good enough to get a look. You know, you had to expect him to struggle. You know, he's 30. You're going to be 30 years old. He hasn't played baseball since his junior year in high school. Did you think he was going to hit 500 with 80 home runs? You know, stop being ridiculous and, you know, pay attention to what's actually going on here.
I I'm sort of more surprised that the MLB, MILB, has been as boring in the Philippines. I was not aware of that.
Oh, I didn't know that either. That's interesting. So, huh. Were his parents on, like, a missionary trip or something? Or was his father in the military?
That's what I was looking up next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did not know any of that. That's very interesting. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, he's shown some flashes. I mean, we've seen some at-bats where he's looked really good. And then there's other at-bats where he's faced a little bit better pitching. You know, guys kind of coming through the Class A system. And he's looked horrible. But, you know, I mean, you could actually say that about guys who are at the top level. I mean, how many times have you seen a guy chase a curveball that bounces in the other batter's box? And he's at the major league level. You know, and it just kind of, you know, I mean, I'm happy for the guy. I mean, it's kind of cool that he's that talented. And, you know, I mean, he's not striking out every at bat. I mean, I think, as much as I hate to say it, he's probably a better baseball player than Michael Jordan was, you know, when Jordan went to play. So maybe we'll have to compare their stats and see when the season is over who had the better year. Of course, I think Jordan started at Double A. I don't think they sent him to A ball. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. It just, you know, it gets frustrating because, you know, that, of course, has to be a big story on all the networks. And it's like, guys, he's a Class A baseball player. There's got to be something else to talk about. You know, I'd rather see your NBA awards preview, which Dan got, I think, 3 of the awards right or 4 of the awards right last night when I was kind of jokingly making him pick. So he was all over it.
Yeah, and you were
right. How many did you get right?
We'll get into that next.
How many did you get right, then? How many did you get right? Was it 3 or 4 last night? Yeah.
I don't remember exactly. I know I got the coach wrong.
Yeah, well, I know you hit MVP. You hit MVP. You hit Defensive Player of the Year. You got Most Improved. So, did you get who was Sixth Man? Did you get Sixth Man?
I picked Iguodala, but in my mind, I was thinking of Eric Gordon. But
So Dan got 3 right just off the top of his head while we were throwing it at him. So not too bad. You know, you can't. You know, without any real preparation, with no preparation and all that other fun stuff, Dan did well. So, you know, we'll take that. You know, and then I know the other thing I wanted to ask you, I didn't see it on the channel listings, but did you find the Big 3 Basketball League last night? I remember you were saying that it was going to air, or you thought it was going to air last night.
It was supposed to air last night because that's what I read.
So, yeah, I didn't I didn't see it or I didn't catch it. I read a review, and it was
not
very kind, I guess, is the way to, you know, way to kind of look at it. But it appears they had a couple close games. I know I saw one where they were talking about somebody hit a game winner, a last second game winner. So, you know, that kind of worked out. But the trivia question, Dan, when they say who was the first guy to score in the big three, it was actually Ivan Johnson. So probably not somebody you were really thinking of. But I know your guy Iverson, I think, only played about 7 or 8 minutes. Oh, he played 9 minutes. 2 points in 9 minutes. Yeah, 2 points in 9 minutes as the coach. So there you go. But his team did win. They got a 10-point win. So that was a plus there. I don't know all the players here, but the trilogy beat the Killer Threes. Iverson's team, which is Threes Company, got a win over the Ball Hogs. The Power beat Tri-State, and in the game, I think this was the game with the last second shot, the Three-Headed Monsters beat the Ghost Ballers. So that was week one with the eight teams. It doesn't appear they have. I was looking to see if they had their TV listings on here. Maybe it's on the homepage of their website. But yeah, Fox. I did not.
I don't know
Fox,
when.
Like, yeah.
I'm assuming FS1.
Yeah, well, they, no, they've got a Michael. They've got a Allen Iverson interview on FS1. We got that going at least. So yeah, we'll have to see if. You know, I have to see if I can catch some of it on TV and see what it actually looks like. That could be, you know, see if it's because, like, yeah, the, you know, like the review I read really kind of went back down to them being, you know, old and slow and, you know, just really kind of kept playing up that point. And it was just kind of like, wait, what did you expect them to be? They're, you know, former players with, you know, I don't understand what you were looking for. So, but I'm sure you will find the Three's Company games and let us know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if Iverson's only playing 9 minutes, Dan will be there to watch those 9 minutes. So we will definitely see what is going on there. But yeah, I'll have to look for it, see if it's you know, FS1 or even if it's FS2 or something, just to check out some of the action. I'd be interested to see how that looks. You know, then I guess technically this is still basketball wise. I don't know if you caught any of this. Maybe you saw the highlights of it. I saw about a minute of it on YouTube. Did you know LeVar Ball and his sons were on WWE Monday Night Raw last night?
I saw a thing about it, but I thought, I don't know. I didn't know they were actually on Raw.
Yeah, they did the skit with the, The Miz and his wife. I couldn't remember his. I knew he was used to be a reality guy. I couldn't remember his name there. Yeah, The Miz and his wife, who I actually think is really attractive. His wife is really good looking. They did the skit there with them in the ring, and the youngest one, it was the father, the son that just got drafted, Lonzo, and then the youngest one, I don't remember if it's LaMichael or LaMarcus, whatever the youngest one is, but the youngest one actually drops the N-bomb during the segment, and they had to cut it short. So that was kind of odd to see. You know, I mean, you know, it's rough when Vince McMahon is cutting a segment short because, you know, it's Vince McMahon and this is WWE. So, but yeah, that was their big thing since WWE was in LA last night. They were the big special guests. And I know you're sorry you missed it, aren't you?
I haven't watched that stuff in a long time.
Yeah, you know, I normally flip by and I'll see bits and pieces of it just to see, like, who's in the ring. But I missed that last night. I don't know what time it was on. I'm sure it was at the top of the hour because they probably expected it to be the biggest ratings draw. So, yeah, just kind of odd, but yeah, I saw a minute of it with the kid dropping the N-bomb, and that was pretty much it. The clip didn't go much longer than that, so that's kind of where that managed to go. But I know the father did take his shirt off, so. But, you know, obviously it's, you know, it's really good pub for their brand. You know, I'm sure it reached a lot of people who know who they were. And they had that, you know, big baller brand out there all over the place. I know, I don't remember which kid had the Stay in Your Lane shirt on. So, you know, they were definitely, you know, he, as big of a basically jackass as this guy is, he does a really good job of promoting their product. So, you know, when you get home, Dan, you'll have to watch all the clips of, you know, all the clips of Raw, so you can see what they did, and then you can tell me about it, because I don't want to have to go through and watch it.
Yeah, I don't really care.
So you didn't order your Big Baller Brand T-shirt yet?
No, I can't afford it. I'm not a big baller.
You and me both. So, all right, but since we are kind of straight into the basketball territory, the Knicks have actually came out, Dan, and said they have legitimate interest in bringing Derrick Rose back. You used to be a sort of kind of Knick guy until they embarrassed themselves in the NBA. Do you like bringing Rose back to this team, or, you know, I don't even know what the hell's going on with this team. You know, they didn't trade Porzingis. They still have Carmelo. You know, Joakim Noah signed for about 8 more years, I think. And do they need Rose?
I mean, to complete the clusterness of the team, yeah, they need him.
You know, I mean, he seems like a good fit for this, what could be called a zoo, or however you want to look at it. You know, and I know in also Nick news, I don't know if you saw this, but Lala came out and said that when her and Carmelo's divorce and everything is final, the most important thing for Carmelo is to make sure he stays close to his son. So is that her hint? Is that her hinting that he needs to stay in New York?
So she's going to leave home and still try to tell him what to do.
Yeah. And you know, now we all know this is how he ended up there. You know, she didn't like Denver. It was not good for her career. She wanted to go back to New York where she could get her reality show. So he orchestrated his way out of Denver, you know, got himself back to New York with the Knicks. And, you know, she got her way. She got her reality show for, I don't know, it ran for a few seasons. I never watched it, but I know it ran for a couple seasons. So, yeah, it's kind of like, even though they're not married, she's still going to tell him what to do? Is that how that works, Dan? Well, you're still married, so you're used to being told what to do.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, it just kind of adds more and more to that Nick weirdness of, you know, what just goes on with this team. You know, it's like, okay, you know, because there were some rumors out there that the Cavaliers were working on a 3-team deal where they would end up with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. Now, again, I don't know how much truth there is to that or what they would have to give up. That was just one of the rumors that came floating out. I'm assuming now that he can't accept a deal anywhere except the Nets, because Brooklyn would be close enough. Well, maybe he could go to Boston, right? That would still be close enough.
Washington, maybe Philly.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think those, yeah, would those, yeah, I guess those would be considered close enough, right? If he, you know, if he hung out there, you know, that wouldn't be too bad. But yeah, it's just kind of, you know, kind of odd that she still has that much control over what he'll probably end up doing. So, you know, and then, you know, locally we picked up some more news here about the Bulls. They had their press conference to introduce their new players. And, you know, John Paxton got on the mic, and of course they wanted to know right away what was going to go on with Dwayne Wade. Cause as you know, the day before the draft, Wade accepted his $24 million option for next year. It's actually 23.8, to be fair. And Paxton made it very clear that he has no problem with Wade playing elsewhere as long as he's willing to give back a big chunk of that money. I believe he formed it in the way that it would have to – the words Paxton used, I believe he said it would have to favor the Bulls. So, you know, we'll have to see what goes on there. He addressed Rajon Rondo a little bit too, but he didn't really go into that kind of detail like he did with Wade. You know, of course, Wade is 35 and he's coming to the end of his rope here. Rondo is just 31, so if he wants to play a few more years, he probably could. You know, now Rondo's due $13 million, where Wade is the guy who's going to get the big payday. Do you see Wade being willing to give away some of this money to get away from a rebuilding team?
I mean, how much does that would Cleveland have to pick up?
Yeah, that's the problem, is nobody really knows the dollar value just yet. So, you know, I guess obviously that would help us all out a little more if we knew a number, but yeah, we don't have that yet. I mean, you know, if you're Dwayne Wade, could you be, like Miami struggled your last couple of years there after, you know, LeBron left and Bosh had the health issues. For $23.8 million, would you be okay doing it one more time with the Bulls?
I would stay happily. I would do whatever.
So, you know, and I mean, it is his hometown. You know, he's from Chicago. So it's, you know, it's not a horrible situation for him, I don't think. So, you know, it would be, it wouldn't be the worst thing if he stayed and, you know, collected the money. You know, I think Rondo, if they decide they want to move him, they may actually be able to find a taker for him. You know, $13 million in this NBA isn't the biggest salary in the world anymore. You know, that's actually kind of a bargain for a guy at this point, where, you know, guys like Delly are making, you know, almost double that. So we'll have to see. But, you know, I did hear somebody mention they thought the Bulls could be a 500 team next year. Are you buying that?
I mean, it depends on how the East plays out. I think they could. But I also don't know anything about LaVine and Dunn.
Well, you know, LaVine won a dunk contest. What more do you need to know?
Yeah.
Doesn't that say it all when you, you know, a big dunk contest winner?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know we had, do you remember, we had a third topic we left on the board yesterday. Do you remember what it was?
I have no clue.
I don't remember. So, oh God, I'm okay. Now you got to tell me if you remember this one, because obviously you're a little younger than I am. It was actually 25 years ago, Dan. Do you remember the Reebok ads for Dan versus Dave?
Who, Dan Marley? I don't
know. It was Dave O'Brien Dan O'Brien and Dave Johnson. So it was 25 years ago. Reebok put together this campaign, Dan against Dave. They were decathletes for the U.S. Olympic team. You know, and they were pushing the idea, you know, if you win the decathlon, you're the world's greatest athlete, because it, you know, redoes how, you know, just the way it kind of works. So they pushed these two guys, and if I remember correctly, one of them didn't make the Olympic team and the other one didn't medal. So yeah, the campaign as a whole really went bust. The commercials leading up to it though were pretty good. But yeah, I just caught the thing on it, and I can't believe that was 25 years ago that campaign was going on. Dan, where did my life go?
With the wind.
Yeah, it's just gone. I just kind of, but yeah, that was just one of those things. I scrolled by it and it popped into my head. I was like, holy crap, it was that long ago. So, you know, I guess that's just how it kind of goes. But, you know, I did see, you know, we talked a little bit about the Brewers yesterday. They're actually getting Ryan Braun and Jonathan Villar off the disabled list. And then you mentioned Starlin Castro is going to go on the DL, which of course is very sad to me. I thought I read somewhere that he tore the hamstring, but the article on the Mickey Mouse website said it's a strain. Do you know any chance what it is or what it was? Did you hear anything?
No, I just heard that he was going for an MRI today. I must not have had the article.
Yeah, I had heard on television, or I shouldn't say heard, I read on one of the crawlers that they were saying it was a tear in the hamstring. And, you know, obviously this was early in the morning. I can't remember if I had the MLB Network on or if it happened to be the Mickey Mouse Network. And then here, you know, in the article, they're saying it's just a strain. Obviously, it would be, you know, there's going to be a big difference in recovery from, you know, one to the other. So I was just wanting some clarification. But, yeah, Dan, you know, I don't have him in either of our fantasy leagues this year. I was all in on him last year, and I couldn't get him this year. Everybody beat me up to him. But I'm still sad to see him go on the DL.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's definitely out until after the All-Star break.
Yeah, so, you know, and I know he was doing pretty well. He was having a pretty good year. What do we have him at here? He was, where are you? There he is. Okay. Oh, he was hitting .313 with 12 homers and 45 RBIs.
In 73 games.
Yeah. Second best hitter on the Yankees behind Aaron Judge. So not a, you know, he just, you know, one of those things, I guess it just kind of happened, but hopefully, you know, I know they're reporting here that, you know, the injury is serious and they sounded optimistic. He'll return from in his 10 days. So I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he said he doesn't think it was that serious because he woke up and was walking normal. So, I mean, if I were the Yankees, though, I would just leave him out until after the All-Star break.
Yeah, you figure, I mean, his 10-day return is going to be pretty close to that anyways. So you might as well just, you know, you might as well just give him the extra time. You know, I mean, at that point, you know, you still have a pretty long way to go. You know, give him a couple days extra rest, and then as soon as the break is done, he'll be ready to roll. So, and then I did see the Blue Jays designated your guy Jason Grilly for assignment. Is he done, or do you think somebody takes a look at him? I mean, he is 40. If he was left-handed, I would probably say no. But, you know, a right-handed pitcher, a 40-year-old right-handed pitcher who was 2-4 with a 6.97 ERA is probably not going to get a look, right? Well, you know, the Nationals did just bring K-Rod in. You know, would they look at Grilly, too, for help?
Maybe the Cubs will. I mean, you know, Theo thought it was a great idea to bring up Joe Mason.
Yeah, the Nationals actually did that as well. He was there for a little while. So, you know, it could be one of those interesting moves that a team makes. I doubt it, but you know, we'll have to see if, you know, if they do anything. But I'm just not sure if your guy, and he's your guy, definitely, has anything left. So, oh, all right, well, what else is good, Dan? We got some more fun baseball news out there. What else has happened? You didn't jump off the ledge last night when the Cubs almost blew a 5-0 lead like Stu did. Oh, no, did I kill Dan? Yes, I did. Dan dropped off. See, I started talking about the Cubs, and Dan fell off. Can you believe that? All right, well, we'll give Dan a second to reload here as we kind of move on. I don't know how many of you will remember the name Anthony Young. Sound familiar to you? But what it who Anthony Young is he is the guy who holds the record for the most consecutive losses by a starting pitcher. He actually lost 27 in a row, and sadly, he died at 51 yesterday. Or actually, they have it listed as today. So, but yeah, that was his claim to fame. I think he even had a brief stop here with the Cubs as a pitcher for a little bit. I'm not totally positive about that. I'll have to let me hit Dan's favorite search engine here, and I can card on him and see where, because I know he spent quite, you know, I think he started a streak with might have been with the Mets, but I know he bounced around for a little while here. So yeah, he was 91-93 with the Mets, so he spent a couple years there. 94 and 95, he was with the Cubs. And then 96, he was with the Houston Astros. So he did have, his career record was 15-48. But oddly, Dan, he had a pretty respectable ERA at 3.89.
That's not horrible.
No, that's odd. But yeah, he went 14-0 as a starter, or 0-14, excuse me. Starter, and then 0-13 as a reliever to set that record. So, you know, probably I'm guessing probably just some bad luck involved there, because that's a, you know, especially in today's game, that's a very respectable ERA, and you know, you just kind of wonder, you know, just didn't work out, or you know how it goes, but. You know, I mean, he had a 6-year big league career. That's better than what Dan and I had combined. So,
what would you say the quality or the at the time of the teams he was on helped that losing record?
Yeah, you know, the Mets weren't very good. The Cubs weren't very good, and then you know the Astros. I think he was there for, well, it was 96. Houston. I don't think they were that great then either. So. You know, obviously that didn't help him out. But yeah, you know, he actually was traded from the Mets to the Cubs for Jose Vizcaino. You remember Jose Vizcaino? So, but yeah, just 51. Apparently he was suffering from a brain tumor. So sadly, you know, I don't know if anybody will ever break that record. 27 in a row is quite a streak there, but you know, still always sad when one of the baseball guys passes away. And I know we were talking about it while I was setting the FanDuel lineup for you. Minnesota and Boston are in a rain delay, so hopefully you check that all out before you pumped your lineup in and everything is okay. So, and the Cubs scored again in the first inning, Dan. They're 1-0 in the bottom of the first. Was it a Wilson Contreras home run again?
Sadly, probably not, because Miggy got the start today.
Oh, well, that doesn't mean, you know, Wilson can play other positions. No, it looks like Anthony Rizzo scored on a Chris Bryant triple.
Yay!
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but it's funny though how that experiment of having Contreras play left field last year hasn't really worked out this year. He hasn't really played much outfield.
No, just some spells here and there. You know, he's played a few innings in left here and there. You know, I think he played some third base at one point in time too this year.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the experiment tonight, it's Rizzo leading off. Tommy LaStella's batting second, playing second. Ian Hop is third and center. Bryant's fourth in right field. Miggy's fifth and obviously catching. John Jay's sixth and left. Javier Baez is seventh and at short. Of course, Jake Arrieta's hitting eighth. And then it's, what's Candelaria's first name? How are they pronouncing it so I don't screw it up?
Jaramir?
Is that, yeah, he's playing third base tonight, so.
Just say Candelaria. Everyone will know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, that's how it worked out. Yeah, that's what they have him listed in the box score, Jay Candelaria. So, but yeah, because I heard it a couple different ways today. You'll have to go out and get the phonetic spelling for us so we can get it right. But yeah, Bryant had the triple, and then if you have Trey Turner, he's already got two stolen bases.
Hey, second and third, huh?
So, yeah, had to be, huh? Yeah, you can't steal first. quick update on the other games. The other game's going. Kansas City's up 1-0 on Detroit. And the Mets scored first on the Marlins. So, obviously, it's really early in those games. It's bottom of the first, top of the second there. So, Dan and I will be able to watch them in a little bit to see what other fun stuff.
Yeah, I tried to stay away from those Boston and Twin guys because I saw the rain supposed to hit there and I didn't want to take that chance today.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping, they'll wait it out, get it in, because it is Wednesday. So, we'll see. But, I didn't even get to ask you, Dan, did you see both of Javi Baez's defensive plays last night? He was really throwing the leather around.
Yeah, I caught it, and I don't know. I just love how – I love my Cub fan friends, the fanatics. All of a sudden, it's, defensive player of the year, and Javi's the greatest again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong, so he made two great plays. So he's definitely a positive right now. If he has a ground ball go through his legs or something, then it's over, and they'll be wanting him out of town as quickly as possible. So, then I don't know if you caught the Iowa Cubs update from last night, Dan, but Kyle Schwarber, 1-for-4, struck out his first three times. So, you
gotta get his mojo back.
Yeah. Now, this is kind of a, I don't even know the roundabout way to ask it, but how long before Kyle Schwarber is a bust?
I think you have to give him a whole nother season.
So 2018 as well?
Pretty much. I mean, everyone talks about how we're waiting to get, that's the thing that killed me. I never really thought about it, but, Joe kept talking about how, we got to do this. And we'll get the Schwarber that everyone's used to, and we'll get Schwarber back to the way he was. But, I mean, the sample size was so small. How do you know who he is and how he is supposed to be?
Yeah, it was just something I was kind of, you know, kind of wondering, because obviously, I mean, we talked a lot about Tim Tebow early. You know, they're killing Tebow for not being able to hit Class A minor league pitching. Well, you know, here's Schwarber, who's had success at the major league level, go striking out three times against Triple A pitching. So, you know, yeah, I was just curious on what kind of, you know, what kind of clock does he have before you start looking at, you know, or do you think there's a possibility they move him?
I mean, the fans would be in an uproar. And like you said, Theo loves his guys. So,
yeah.
I really think the opportunity was last year. You know, everyone's mad at the Bulls and Gar and Pack for what they did. But had they waited any longer, if they would have waited till this season was over, I don't think they would have gotten the return that they received. They would get even less because I don't, you know, the time on his deal would be, you know, near completion. And I don't know, the time to strike was now. And for the Cubs, after winning the World Series, the time to strike was then. But it's not only that, it's, I don't think it was just Schwarber, the whole team in general, and they really didn't address any of the issues that they came into the season with, or they were coming into the season with.
Yeah, and, you know, by no means is it Schwarber's fault. I mean, he just happened to be the guy to get sent down because he had options. Let's face it there, you know, it could have just easily been Addison Russell, you know, being the guy to get sent down. I mean, he's not ripping the cover off the ball either, and he's having his issues with defense. You know, you just wonder. I mean, I think, you know, from the start, we've all kind of wondered if Schwarber's better suited to be a DH. You know, is it possible? You know, say he comes back and he still scuffles at, you know, whatever they decide to bring him back up. Is there an opportunity we see him, you know, go someplace, you know, someplace else?
I think if he did, he'd go out west. You know, I don't think any deal
but definitely,
with the you know,
yeah. So yeah, not, yeah, that probably won't happen. So you know, but definitely, you if they do trade him, you see American League.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't think.
Oh well, you said out west, Dan. That's me. They'll just trade him to the Angels for Mike Trout.
Well, Montero would have to be in that deal, too, for that to happen.
All right. The music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. But we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're away, though. Get over to SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget to jump on the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you really want to. And again, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.